Hey, what is up, y'all? Welcome to the Unchained Podcast. We are back for episode 40. This is a spontaneous podcast because normally I do not create my podcast until the weekend. But however, man, you know, look, for some reason, man, for the last part of this season, my heart has been heavy, and it has been heavy for people who are lost, people who feel like they are disconnected from God, people who feel like they are disconnected from God's presence. And really just lost people, man, because this is not necessarily a podcast for Christians. This is not necessarily a podcast for just believers alone. But I hope this podcast falls on the ears and hearts of those who are around the world who are seeking change, who are seeking a new life, who are seeking freedom, man. And that's what Unchained is all about. My message that God has given me is solely built on the foundation that I want to see other people set free. And I'll tell y'all what, man, this episode is going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot of testimony in this one. I know the last one was my personal testimony, but for some reason, man, God has really pressed on my heart that, look, it is time for you guys to leave this normality, this life that you think is safe and that is comfortable. God is like, look, there needs to be a new normal, and there's a shift coming. And if you're not prepared for the shift, you will be left behind. If you're not prepared for the shift that is happening, then your family is going to be in jeopardy. You're going to be in jeopardy. You're really going to miss out on what God has for you. Not only that, man, the world as we know it is not getting any safer. It's getting more and more unreliable. So with what I intend to do through the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, is to set people free and draw people to Christ. You know, so I look to exalt his name above every other name. I look to exalt him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I look to exalt him as my father. I look to exalt him as my friend, my brother, my everything. Some of you are trapped in a lifestyle and you can't find a way out, man. So for the purposes of these last several episodes, it has been to shine a light in a dark place in your life. With that being said, man, I thank you guys for your support, your love, man, sharing the podcast. Look, I'm telling you, one of the biggest things that you can do for me in this podcast ministry is to share it. I'm not asking you necessarily to sponsor it. If you want to sponsor it, yo, I'm grateful. Thank you so much for your love and support. Thank you for everything, man, because I don't really consider myself a household name. I don't consider myself I don't give myself any titles. So some people call me a preacher, some a teacher, some a motivational speaker. Look, your titles mean nothing to me, but however you want to use it as a term of endearment, yo, I appreciate it. But for me, there's somebody out here who needs to hear these messages that I'm putting up, that God is leading me to teach and to speak. My prayer is that these podcasts speak into your life in such a way that allows you to see God for who he is and in his magnificence and glory, to see God as a healer, to see God as your father, to see God as somebody who wants to give you life and a more abundant life, for you to see God as somebody who loves you unconditionally without any prerequisites, man. God loves you, and that's the message, man. So with that being said, the biggest thing you can do for the Unchained Podcast is to share these messages. Also, man, thank you guys who are supporting the podcast financially. Again, you can take advantage of that at anchor.fm/unchained, and you can choose your monthly contribution at $1, $5, or $10, or you can cash at me at $NoChainsOnMe, and that's chains with a Z. And then, of course, if you want to make a bigger contribution, you can email me at keelan@nochainsonme.com, and that's change with the Z. So again, thank you guys for everything that you're doing, your love, support. The only thing that I will ask you to do, this is kind of like leaving a review, you know. So when you share it, it's like leaving a review, or you can leave a review itself on the anchor.fm/unchained page, or you can look me up on Facebook. at Unchained Motivation or at No Chains On Me. And that's the only thing that I have that's chains with an S. Either Unchained Motivation or at No Chains On Me, and that's chains with an S. Hopefully I didn't confuse you guys. However, like I said, as the season's coming to an end, God has been pressing more and more on my heart. And I kind of got an idea of where we're heading next season. I think next season is really going to be fire. When I close out the season, guys, I normally take several weeks off so that I can recalibrate, focus on the direction that God wants to take his word. And with that said, I know God is going to do something marvelous with the word that he's given me, the episodes that I've put up. I don't do them for myself, but I do them so he can put them in the right hands for them to be delivered by the right people so that people can be free. And, with that said, man, I want to go ahead and get into today's podcast. This was not going to be a long one, but I must share something amazing that happened yesterday, which is the reason for the spontaneous and early podcast episode. There's something amazing that happened yesterday, and I want to lead with this. Harriet Tubman said something that was marvelous. She said, "I freed 1,000 slaves. I could have freed 1,000 more if they knew they were slaves." And some of y'all don't know that you guys are slaves. And if you do know, more than likely you have suppressed the fact that you know of God, you know God, you have heard about Jesus Christ, you've heard about his love, you have heard about it, but I believe that you have heard about it in such a distorted way that it prevents you from pursuing God. And I'll be honest with you, those of us who are Christians, in some way, shape, or form, we have displayed that in a poor way. Meaning, not all the time do we represent Christ well. Not all the time do we have all the answers. Not all the time do we make it appealing to be a Christian. Not all the time. And so I want you guys to understand, those who don't walk with God, that being a Christian is not about perfection. It is not about being perfect. There is a walk that you have to take when you choose to follow Christ, and it is about sanctification. Throughout your walk with Christ, God is going to address some things that have been part of your sin, have been part of your coping mechanisms, the things that you've done or have faltered to when you missed the mark about who you were created to be. We pick up coping mechanisms, and a lot of times that gets ingrained in our subconscious and it becomes a part of our behavior and who we are. But when we peel back the surface and we look at what is in you, how God created you is a pure source because it came from him. He makes no mistakes. And so most of the time when we are viewing what Christianity is, when we're viewing who God is, a lot of times it's painted in the wrong light. And we look at Christianity, we look at it as a life of rules and regulations. We look at it as something that is more of a hindrance than it is to more so than what we look at it as a picture of freedom. It took me a while to figure that out. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, and the reason why I led with the quote from Harriet Tubman about you could be free only if you knew you were a slave, is there's a scripture that I'm going to read. There's going to be out of Romans 1, and it's going to start at verse 18, and I'm going to read all the way down to 32. And if you don't read the Bible, then that's fine, because you're going to get all your scripture for the week right here. So just bear with me. It is long, but I want you to hear something. And just to build up this context, I want to tell you the background about why Paul is saying what he's saying and who he's talking to. And then I want to get into a short testimony, and then, you know, that'll be the end of this podcast. But I'm going to pray, because I want this word to do specifically what he put in my heart for it to do. And that somebody who gets this message does not take it as judgment, but to listen with an open mind and an open heart and accept it as the truth. Because fact of the matter is, most of us have grown up our entire life living a lie and living according to other people's lives and living apart from God based upon what we think we know about God based upon the general population. So as my tagline says, break away from ordinary, I pray that this particular word helps you do that. But Spirit of the living God, we come to you today. I pray that your word falls fresh upon us, Father God, as it's being read. And as you give me the words to speak, as you give me the message to bring forth, Father God, I pray that it goes forth throughout the airways. May your word rest, Father God, upon the minds of those who are listening and those who are tuning in, Father God. I know, Heavenly Father, that there is a war going on in a place that we cannot see, Father God. And it is keeping your people, your children, Father God, bound to things that you did not approve for them to get bound to. Father, we have people that are being captured and held in bondage, Father God, and lifestyles and lying beliefs and distorted viewpoints about you, about who they are, Father God, and they can't seem to get free, Lord. And so, Father, I pray that this particular word, Father, it travels throughout the airways, Father God, and that it dismantles every lie and every deception, Father God. If there are any believers listening, Father God, I pray that they too join into this prayer and begin to pray for those who are bound up in the spirit realm, Father God. Those who have sent up prayers and their prayers are bound up, Father God, we pray a loosing, Father God, in the atmosphere for their prayers to fall. We pray, Father God, a loosing, Father God, for those whose spirits are tied up, Father God, and in pagan revelry, Father God, and those whose spirits and minds are tied up, Father God, and lies and distorted viewpoints about who you are, Heavenly Father. I pray, Father God, that the word that you give me today, it brings truth to the listener, that it breaks down strongholds, that it breaks the chains of addiction, that it breaks the chains of hurt and pain, Father God. I pray that every chain be broken under the sound of my voice today, Father God, that your word go forth and present truth in the midst of darkness. May this word give light and life to the listener and to the believer, Father God. May your word have its way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for bearing with me through that. For some reason I can't talk today, but you know, we're gonna roll with it anyway. I don't edit. So what you get on this microphone is what you get. All right, so we're going to go in Romans chapter 1, starting at verse 18, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 32. And here's a letter from Paul writing to the Romans. And if you want to think about why Paul is writing this particular letter, you know what? Let me read this first, and then I will explain why he wrote this letter. All right. So it says, "But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for one another. Men did shameful things with other men, and as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserve. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. Yet, they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. Wow. So if you heard that, and I would probably guess that some of you shook your head and did the because those verses in this letter are extremely heavy, because it sounds a lot today what America is like. And so Paul, when he writes this letter, he's going into Rome, and the atmosphere of Rome is like a cosmopolitan area where you have different people or different backgrounds and people who worship different gods. You had warlocks, you had witchcraft, you had people who worship the moon and the stars. They had people who are worshiping handmade or man-made gods. You had people that were making sacrifices to other gods, and it was a big thing. It was a big thing that was going on, where everybody that was in Rome were worshiping and doing their own thing, worshiping their own gods. But you also had new converts, people who had accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so what Paul wrote this letter, when he wrote this letter, he wrote them to a collective group of people, and he called them Gentiles. Although they worship different gods, you know, and they had their own beliefs and who they worship, Rome didn't really care what you believe or who you worship or what you worship. They just wanted your tax dollars. And at the same token, if you were a new follower of Christ, you were there too, and you paid tax dollars. So when Paul comes to preach the gospel, he addresses Jews, which were Orthodox Jews who grew up, believing the Old Testament and knew all the history of God. And then you also had these Gentiles, this collective group of people that worship birds and reptiles and man-made things, and universalists, and people were really into orgies and same-sex sexual relations, and it was a big place of just mixed muck. Again, kind of like America. So when we look at it, Paul is writing this, and he's trying to explain the mere fact that you're in the presence of God every day. Everything that you see around you, the things you touch, the visions that you see when you look out your window, the beauty of the green trees and the green grass, and if you're on the West Coast, then you got tons of mountains, you got views as far as the eye can see, you got palm trees, you got different kind of animals that lurk all over the earth and all over your city and state. You really get to see the cycle of life that was created by the hand of God. And his power. And when you just look at life as it is, just stand outside and just take a visual look. Just stand outside. No thoughts, no music, no cell phone. Just give it 10 minutes and observe. And you see God's work at work. What he thought about, what he had imagined, what he spoke with his mouth became a living thing. And we see it all every single day. You and I are the handiwork of God Almighty himself, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is evident in every single place of our life. And even though some scientists study it, although they see it, they're exposed to it, the great mysteries of the entire galaxies and the universe, they still don't believe. So Paul writes this letter to people who are in the workmanship of God, in the presence of God, and they know the truth about God because he's made it obvious through the visual things that he's created. Some people don't worship God or see God. And so it is with some of us. And I am speaking from my personal experience when I say that I knew about God, but yet I still chose to live in darkness. The truth about God had been told to me, but my mind was so dark that I could not comprehend light when I saw it. I didn't know what light was. I didn't know who Jesus was or what he died for. And I heard his name, and I heard some of the gospel. I heard bits and pieces, and I still could not get beyond myself. And so it is with some of you. And so when God reveals himself to you, whether through a messenger, through a message, through a song, through an encounter with somebody or with God himself, when he reveals himself to you, but yet you still choose to live in darkness, it says that God will move away and abandon you to the foolishness in your heart. And this is what we saw happening in Rome, where people were just being abandoned to their own ideas, their own thoughts about who God was, because they kept trying to take God and construct him to their idea of something they felt comfortable to worship. Because when you are really getting close to God, he doesn't make it comfortable for you to submit. So instead of you submitting to the will of God, you try to make God submit to your will. And when that becomes your approach in your relationship with God, you tend to throw all principles, all laws out the window, and you try to make God worship you. So you try to get God on your schedule. You try to get God to do what you want to do. You're not following his will. You're trying to get him to follow yours. So it says God left them to a depraved mind for them to do whatever their foolish minds could think up. So to be infiltrated with darkness means the light of God has left. And see, here's where we get into this battle between life and death. And most people live in darkness. And what most people don't understand is that darkness is death. Darkness has no life. Darkness cannot be measured. Darkness is not a quantifiable energy. You can't measure it. You can't put it on a meter. You can't scale it. It doesn't have a color. It has no presence. It doesn't provide any life. The only thing that really grows in darkness is roots, which is why if you pluck a plant out of the ground and you expose it to light long enough, the root dries out. You expose your hidden desires and wills that are opposed to God. You expose that to the light of God long enough, and God will draw out the root of sin in your life. And notice that when it talks about all the side effects, the wickedness, the evil, the sexual immorality, the backstabbing, the gossip, all that is a result of missing the mark. All that is a result of turning your back on God. Yes, when it is preached, those are sinful acts as a result of sin. Because when there is no light, when there's no light in your soul, when light has left your life, when you have upheld everything else over light, it renders you godless. When you have removed all of the attributes about God in your life, when you have pushed him to the outer limits of your life, what is in you begins to die. There is no life in your body, in your mind, in your heart, without God, not without the light of the word, not without the King of glory, not without our source of life, which is God. The thing that is keeping you alive is called Ruach. It is the breath of God. It is the breath of life. When God breathed his breath into human beings, man became a human thing. And that is what is keeping your body alive right now. It is what is ran by this little thing in your mind called your limbic brain. God somehow figured out a creative way to put his breath in that little thing. And that keeps you alive 24/7. You never have to tell yourself to blink. You never have to tell yourself to breathe. You never have to tell yourself for your heart to blink. Everything runs on its own. So it is with a plant, with the grass, with the rain, with the clouds. You don't speak to those things to make them operate. They're already operating by the word of God. And when you are void of the presence of God, everything in your life stops operating according to his will. You begin to operate by your own will. And 10 times out of 10, without God, it is self-destruction. Your life will implode on you because you went against what you knew was right. When you go against what God says, you ultimately sign yourself up for self-destruction. And the reason why I'm bringing this up, because there was a phenomenal conversation that I had with an individual yesterday. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. This particular person, this was a divine appointment. I had no clue at what this conversation was going to lead to. I got to switch gears, and I got to explain to you why I'm talking about the absence of God in your life. I got to explain to you why I'm talking about freedom. I got to explain to you why I'm talking about why being connected to God is the source of life. I got to explain to you why it's so important to submit to the will of God and let Him be king of your life. Let Him be ruler over your heart. Let Him have purpose. Let Him have all the purpose. Let Him do with your mind what He wills, not what you will. Because you can do nothing in your own power. And I'm about to show you. I'm about to explain it to you. I talked to an individual yesterday, right? And I caught this individual because I was supposed to be signing this particular person up for personal training. I called this person on Friday, and she had to get off the phone. She had to let me go because she was busy. But the Holy Spirit had said, something's wrong here. I could hear it in her voice. And so Saturday morning, I sent a message just following up on the lead as I do with my business. All right. No harm, no foul there. Typically, when leads go cold like that, I just go quiet. I don't continue to follow up with the lead because I ain't trying to bug nobody. I don't want to keep nobody that don't want to be kept. I'm not trying to beg anybody for money or anything like that. I'm going to use my gift the way I'm supposed to use my gifts. I don't have to beg because I'm in the operation of my gift. So anyway, so we fast forward to what's today, Wednesday? Yeah, so yesterday was Tuesday. So I spoke to this woman and I called and I had inquired her again because I was sitting, I was going through my leads and God had told me, hey, you need to call that woman back. So I called this woman and she gets on the phone and I talked to her about some coaching and she says, I don't think I'm gonna be able to do it. Something happened today. I was like, okay, cool. But she still had that same tone of voice. No life, sad, depressed. You could tell she really had a lot on her shoulders. And so I asked, yo, are you okay? And so she takes a long sigh and she says, yeah. And I say, you really mean no, right? You're not okay. You're telling me this, but you're not okay. So I was obedient to God and I proceeded to ask questions. And as I asked questions, the guy was like, hey, offer her a free coaching session right now. So I offered her a free coaching session on the phone. I told her that what I do is biblically based. I told her that, what we're going to uncover is going to free her by the end of the call. Because when you're the prerequisite for what I do, guys, is that you must be vulnerable and you must be transparent. That's the name of the game. Gotta be. Otherwise, it will not work. God cannot go and undo. He cannot undo lies and he can't work around you being unwilling to be changed, healed, and transformed. He's not going to do that. He's not going to fight. This is why he gave you free will. He's not going to try to go around that to make you worship him. He doesn't do that. So she agreed to be vulnerable. She agreed to be transparent. And so as I proceeded to ask questions, we found the root of her despair. This lady is going through something heavy, going through something extremely hurtful. I couldn't imagine. This lady is living, she's lived her past three years of her life in isolation with verbal abuse, not being treated right. And I could tell this lady was bearing a lot yesterday, bearing a lot. So toward the end of the call, I prompted her to make a decision. You can stay on a path that you're on, or you can rededicate your life to God, because she told me she made a decision that was against her will. Not against her will, but against God's will. She made a decision that ultimately put the individual she's married to over God. She put this particular person over God's authority. She, in so many words, had started to worship this guy over the God that created him. You have to be careful, because some of us have made the mistake of exalting a job, exalting your spouse, exalting your kids, exalting your feelings, exalting everything in your personal life over God's will for your life. And because of it, you keep going through the same drama. You keep going through the same situations. You break up with one person and end up with the exact same person, just with a different name and a different social security number. You jump from one bed to another bed. You jump from one job to the next job. You go from one bad situation to another situation that looks exactly like it, all for one line belief. Your lenses are distorted. Your heart's broken, and you keep trying to put up you keep trying to put makeup over a broken heart. You keep trying to put up these lies over a broken heart. You keep posting stuff on Snapchat. You posting stuff on Instagram. You posting stuff on TikTok, trying to find validation from somebody who ain't even valid. You trying to validate yourself through your the comments that you get, through other people's opinions. Why are you going to allow some other created human to give you validation? They can't validate you. Only God can validate you. Only God can tell you what's in you. Only God can say that you are above and not beneath. Only God can make you head and not the tail. Only God can give you life. And you looking to some other human being to give you life. Have you lost your mind? You are so sick in your mind, and you are so sick in your heart that you would rather worship a man versus God. You would rather worship a woman versus God. You would rather worship your 9-to-5 versus worship God. You keep worshiping a limited source that has no power to free you. Man can't heal you. Money can't heal you. Sex can't heal you. I don't care how much you pay for that lipstick. I don't care how much you pay for that eyeshadow. I don't care how many likes you get. I don't care how many people asking to take you out. I don't care how many people you sleep with. It is not going to heal you. You keep worshiping the creation over the creator. And as a result, you keep hopping gods. You a God hopper. you keep changing your perspectives. You keep changing your identity. Trying to fit in with the next person. Trying to fit in with the next move, the next wave. Always trying to do what's popular so you can be relevant. All the while, you are getting further and further away from God. Getting further and further away from yourself. Getting further and further away from your calling. Getting further and further away from your purpose. Until you find yourself dissatisfied. Because you find yourself 40 and 50 years old still in the same boat. You 38 years old still hitting on 20-year-old women at the club. Come on, man. God is saying, as long as you continue to worship the creation over the creator, you're going to always be dissatisfied. If you're always opening up your heart for things that have no purpose in your life, you're going to always find yourself apart from your purpose. You're going to always find yourself apart from your purpose. And so as I open up the door for this woman to rededicate her life to Christ, God asked me to pray for this woman. And as I began to pray for this woman, the Holy Spirit of God entered the conversation and started putting words in my mouth that I could not comprehend. I don't know where these words came from. The only thing that I know is God started to speak through me in such a way, because God was determined to free this woman. I had no clue to the extent of how bound she was. Yep, she told me her story. She was open. She was vulnerable. She was honest. And in that moment, when I was praying, the Holy Spirit was allowing herself to empty herself out to God. And in that prayer, this woman got delivered. This woman got free. This woman began to cry out to God. And then God said, she has a ministry, and the enemy plucked her from where she was living, had her get rid of everything, and moved to a state where she has no family, no friends, and she's been isolated. All the while, when God tells me, hey, this woman has a ministry, you need to pray for her freedom. You need to pray for encourage her through my word. And as I started to encourage her through the power of God, God kept telling me to tell this woman, you need to stand up. You need to take your life back. You need to move forward in God. There is no man who has power over you. Because anybody who is trying to fight you and you're connected with God, they're fighting against God. You win, they lose. There's no other way around it. And so this woman says to me that she's like, you're exactly right. I do have a ministry. And this person is building a warehouse over in another country to serve single moms and to help feed their children. So go figure that the enemy would take a woman of power and isolate her and render her powerless to the God that she was worshiping. Only for me to be sitting at my kitchen table and God to touch my heart and say, hey, you need to call this person that I've never met before. Only had one conversation that lasted about 4 minutes. And in an hour and 15 minute conversation, she rededicates her life and God frees her so that she can stand up in Christ and continue his will for her life. When I tell you that that was probably one of the most powerful things that I've experienced in a long time. Yo, I've been in revivals. I've seen God at work. I've seen people raised from the dead. I've seen people come back to life. I've seen people overcome less than slim, scenarios to be brought back to life. I've prayed for people near death only for their cancer to be eradicated, all by the power of God. I've seen so many miracles. But I just wanted to express to you guys that I don't get on this podcast just to do this podcast. What I do outside of this podcast, as God has afforded me the opportunity and the heart to go and use my gift to point those who are lost back to Christ. And today, look, I am begging you, put no other gods before God. Not your job. Yo, really analyze what you are making most important. Please don't. I'm not asking for me. I'm asking for you. Yo, what does your screen time look like? How much time do you spend in prayer? How much time do you spend talking to God? How much time do you spend studying the word? How much? How much of your day do you give him? The Bible said that God's mercies are new every day. Because why? Tomorrow's not guaranteed. We only got one day. You only got one. Yes, we use a calendar. We try to plan things ahead. Yes, by the grace of God, may we be able to see beyond this day to fulfill the things that God has called us to do. Praise God if he does it. But just in case you don't make it tomorrow, are you willing to give your life to him today? Just in case you could be wrong. Just in case that you believed a lie that could have you in eternal damnation. Just in case. Is eternity wrong? Let me rephrase that. Have you really weighed out that you could be wrong? Have you really weighed that out? That the lies and the things you believe about Jesus, the things you believe about God, that have distanced you from God, have you ever considered that you could be wrong? See, if I'm wrong, then the only thing that is done for me is that I've put effort into cleaning up my life. I've chose to do good to others. I've repented from wrongdoing. I've turned my life around because I want to please God. At the end of the day, I have put my heart and soul into making other people better. At the end of the day, I have poured my heart out to help those find a better life. At the end of the day, I'm a much better man than where I started. At the end of the day, I've walked away from pornography. At the end of the day, I walked away from drugs. At the end of the day, I walked away from alcohol and promiscuity. At the end of the day, I walked away from self-condemnation and low self-esteem and low confidence. At the end of the day, I have left a life that served me no good. But if I'm right and you're wrong, you spend eternity in hell. Torture with no relief. You and your spouse and your kids, if they follow you, live a life apart from God in hell, where there's weeping, there's no relief for your heart, there's no relief for your pain, and you will cry out, but God will not hear you. See, if I'm right and you're wrong, then you have literally worshiped the years of your life, and you've traded your life here on earth for eternity. You saw more value in the stuff, in the created things, more than you saw value in the Creator. If I'm right, you don't get to come back from that. If I'm right, you lose. You lose. And your children go with you. If I'm right, you lose. If I'm wrong, I'm just a better person. But if I'm right, y'all, and I don't want this for any of y'all, for nobody, I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've done. God is calling you home. So, if you get this message and there's at least part of you that thinks I could possibly be wrong, 600,000 people dead from COVID, people murdering each other for nothing, people shooting others just because they look different. And if seeing that is worth more to you than spending eternity with a God who loves you and who will restore you, who takes away your sickness and a place where there's no crying, there's no pain. If there's the slightest part of you that you could be wrong, I'm going to invite you to take that small chance today. Jesus says, look, if you got faith just the size of a mustard seed, just the size of a mustard seed. Look, if you try this and it don't suit you and you want to walk away, if your life does not change for the better, then I will never say another word on this podcast. If your life does not radically change for the better, I will bet on God all day long. So I'm going to open up the door for you guys. If you are on this podcast and you're listening, yo, I'm emotional, man. I'm super excited, man. There's nothing like seeing somebody come to Christ, laying down strongholds and uplifting the name of God above every other name. I want to give y'all that opportunity today. And under the sound of my voice, if you can repeat after me, we'll close up this podcast and you can have a great day. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for missing the mark. I'm sorry for my sinful ways. I'm sorry for exalting things and people and other gods before you. Forgive me, God. And please accept my heart. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my mind. I trade my old life for yours. I now believe that your son Jesus died for my sins and that he rose on the third day and that he now sits at your right hand. I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe that salvation is mine today through the blood of his sacrifice. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. Look, there's no such thing as a sinner's prayer, y'all. But when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, when you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, he will completely change your life. I promise you, man. I've gone through some things in my life that are unimaginable. As you guys heard last week, I shouldn't be alive. There's some things that I've done I'm so ashamed of. I'm so undeserving for what I get to do. And if anybody is listening from my past, they know without a doubt what my life looked like. And it's only by the blood of Jesus that I've been healed and delivered and set free. And so I pray that those of you who are listening, I pray that your heart has been changed or pricked by what I just told you. Because some of y'all, especially if you're women, you're in an abusive relationship. You've been made to feel less than. You've been walked out on. You've been talked down to. You've been made to feel like you're not important. And I'm sorry. My heart hurts for you. But you do not have to stay. There is no person on this planet worth throwing your life away for. I don't care how cute they are. I don't care how much money they make. If you lose yourself in the process, there's no way that you think that it's worth it. You're not a slave. The blood of Jesus has set you free. So I love y'all. I'll talk to y'all later. Peace.